Noticed by now, Pastor Jacques not with us this morning. He was at a pastor's conference this past week, and as such, what often happens when the pastor's away during the week on other business, such as the pastor's conference, the Sunday following that, he will go somewhere else and preach, and sometimes we get to make a swap with the pastor from the other church, and that's what's happened today. And we have Pastor Jim Clements from Port Perry this morning. Jacques is in Port Perry this morning, worshiping with Port Perry Baptist Church and ministering there. And Jim is no stranger to us. He's been here before, and we look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on your heart this morning, Jim, and thanks for coming.
Thank you, Bruce. It is a pleasure, always a pleasure to be with you. It is somewhat odd for me to be here this morning with Jacques' children on Father's Day, and Jacques, Tatiana are in Port Perry with my children on Father's Day, but the Lord moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. I didn't realize when Jacques asked me, I don't know how long ago to do this exchange, that it was Father's Day. I still would have done it, but I suspect I'm in trouble with some people back home. That's all right. We talk a lot about grace and forgiveness and all those good things. I just want to say again, thank you just for the privilege of being here to share with you this morning, and grateful that your pastor is in Port Perry with my church family ministering there. Anytime I can have Jacques minister to our church family, I count that a rich blessing. And it is a very great privilege for me to be standing, so to speak, in his pulpit with his people. I love your pastor. I know you love him too. He's a godly man, a passionate man, a devoted man, loves Christ and loves his people. And I don't know many men who pour as much of themselves into ministry as my brother Jacques, your pastor, and you are very much blessed. And again, I count it a privilege to have this trade taking place this morning and to be sharing with you. If you turn in your Bibles again to 2 Timothy, by the way, to those of you who noticed my family wasn't with me this morning and expressed that with a sense of sadness and discouragement that it was only me, I thank you for reminding me of just how special my family is. I wish they were here with me this morning, and I certainly feel much better equipped to minister at any place, at any time when my family is with me. But I'm also thankful that they're all busy in ministry in Port Perry. They're not only being fed, they're there as part of the feeding ministries, and so they couldn't be with me this morning. But thank you for reminding me that you love them more than me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I had the entire first chapter read because we're going to be referring to it, but it's really the thoughts we're looking at are found and rooted in chapter 2 and verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed, amazed. Father, we can't even begin to comprehend the privilege that it is for us to call You our Father, and to know that You have loved us with an everlasting love, that You have claimed us through the work of Christ on the cross and in the empty tomb. You've claimed us for Your own. You've purchased us with blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are Your children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. I thank You for our time of worship already that has reminded us of Your greatness, Your glory, Your kingship, and also Your fathership to us. And I pray now, as we continue in worship of You in the Word, that You would continue to bring the truth of the Scriptures as You reveal Yourself to us in the Word. Bring it to bear on my heart and on the hearts of each one here. Remove from us, remove from our minds, gracious Father, anything that might interfere with the working of Your Spirit through Your Word in our lives today. Deal with us, Father. Meet with us in power by Your Spirit. We pray that we would be changed. We pray that in all of this, Christ will be exalted. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strength is an important thing in our society. We value it. We treasure it on many different levels. Whether you look at it from a political perspective, political power, so to speak, political strength, military power or military strength. We see it in society, in our corporate structures. Strong corporate entities have maybe impact even on political forces or political people or political decisions. Why? Because they have some measure of strength defined by what it is they are or what it is they do. We see it in the financial realm. I think they still say money talks, something like that. That our personal finances or our national finances or our corporate finances, we measure the strength of the individual or the government or the corporation to some measure by their financial strength, don't we? I don't know if you saw this past week, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, two of the wealthiest men in the world, billionaires. They're on a mission encouraging other billionaires to give at least half of their wealth to charity before they die. I think that's good. I think that's a great thing. I'd like to make some suggestions as to what charities they actually donate to, but it's a remarkable thing. These billionaires encouraging other billionaires to donate half of their finances. The interesting thought that struck me was when you're worth $50 billion and you give half of it away, you still have $25 billion. I think I could get by pretty comfortably on $25 million. Financially, they have a great measure of strength. And it's interesting, when Warren Buffett, if you're familiar with Warren Buffett and the financial investment realms, when he talks, people listen, right? When he talks about the economy or investments, people listen. Why? Because we measure, in our society, we measure strength in those terms, in those financial terms. We need to think about strength from another perspective, though, in a more personal way. Sometimes we talk about people with strong personalities. That can be either a good thing or a bad thing sometimes. We talk about physical strength. It's interesting in our culture how infatuated we are with physical health, which is a good thing. It's good to be healthy. It's good to be strong. People working out. It's an odd thing for me. I have to confess, it makes me uncomfortable, though, to go to a gym, which really I never go to a gym, but if I did go to a gym, they have those mirrors on the wall, and you see these hulking beasts of men and they're there pumping iron, just pumping away. I don't know, they're impressing themselves, certainly trying to impress someone else, but that physical strength as it's reflected in muscle mass, or maybe you've watched some of the strongest men competitions where they lift cars and small buildings and all of those sorts of things, and we marvel at that. We respect that. We admire that. We treasure that display of strength, don't we? And certainly in our personal lives, don't we encourage our children to be strong in terms of their educational life? Pursue an education. Do well in school. And we ask them or urge them, or even sometimes command them, do well in school because we want them to get what? A good job. We want them to have a good vocation. We want them vocationally to be strong. And why do we want them to have a good job? So they can take care of me when I'm old, right? It's financial security. It's financial strength. So even in the context, and all of those things are fine and well in and of themselves. But there's an area of life where we need to consider very carefully what it means to be strong and how it is we can and should be strong. And that's in our spiritual lives. And it's interesting, all of those things I just threw at you by way of illustration. It's interesting how in any one of those areas we recognize and value strength the most when we feel our weakness. Isn't that true? That is, when I feel weak, that's when I recognize how good it is to be strong. When I feel weak in whatever area, financially or otherwise, come the end of the month and, you know, there's more bills than there is money, when I feel that weakness, it's then that I go, boy, we really need to manage our resources. We need stronger financial foundation here. It's when we feel our weakness that we recognize the value of strength in any area of life, but how much more important in our spiritual lives, in this core reality, this center of who we are, our spiritual being, our soul, the essence of who we are. Are we strong in our spiritual lives? I used this text on Mother's Day this year, and the title title I used was a little presumptuous. The title of the sermon was What Women Need. Now, all the women in the room listening to a man preach understand why that sounds a little presumptuous, doesn't it? That I'm going to somehow tell you what women need. I could have used the same message today on Father's Day. What fathers need. In fact, I could use the same title. Just you use that title. You just put in your own name. What Jim Clemens needs. Of course, the title in your bulletin is Be Strong. And what we need, as we feel weakness in our spiritual lives and sense by God's grace our need to grow in spiritual things, as fathers, as mothers, as parents, in our homes, in the workplace, in community, in all of life, as we feel our weakness, we need to hear the words of the gospel and we need to hear the words of this text. What kind of strength do we need? Where do we go for strength? What is the strength that is required to live for Christ in a godless world until He comes? We need to hear Paul's instruction to Timothy. You then, my son, if I can take the liberty, you then, my child, that's how we should understand that. This tender, compassionate, gracious instruction to his child. That's how Paul views his relationship with Tim. He sees him as his very own family, and with that sense of love and compassion and concern, even as we as parents would communicate in the same way to our own children, what does he urge upon Timothy? Along with all of the instruction in these two letters that he writes to Timothy, with all of the burdens that rest upon Timothy in his responsibilities as a minister of the gospel, as a Christian, simply as a Christian, in a broken and fallen world, these are the words that we need to hear. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, wherever you are at in feeling your own weakness today, and I want to suggest to you all of the other illustrations are symptomatic weaknesses, financially, educationally, vocationally, whatever. All of those things are symptomatic. If we are weak in those areas, those trace their way back to this heart issue, our spiritual lives. And the question that I must ask myself, am I today strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? So look with me just for a few moments then at this passage. It's a passage that will help us understand this crucial element of spiritual strength in the life of the Christian. We must find our strength in the right source, or we will find we have no strength at all. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me unpack this verse in this passage by asking three questions. If you're a note taker, I'll give you all three, and then you've got them. First, we're going to ask the question, what is this strength that we need, that Paul speaks of? What is the strength that we need? Second question is, where does this strength come from? Where does this strength come from? And the third question is, what is this strength for? What is it for? Well, the first question, what is this strength that we need? Quite simply, Paul points Timothy in a very simple and direct way, although if you take the time to read both of these letters to Timothy, it's just saturated with this same point, just phrased and described in different ways. He points him to the strength that is described as grace. In a word, that's what Paul is pointing us towards in terms of strength for our lives. It's grace. But what are we to think of when Paul says the word grace? This is where we have to explore a little bit in the larger passage and even throughout the New Testament picture. What is the New Testament telling us when it talks about grace? And why is it that Paul chooses that term to impress upon Timothy in all that weighs down upon his life, making him to feel his weakness? Be strong in grace. Well, let me suggest a couple things here. First, when we think of grace, we ought to think of the content of the gospel. Our minds ought to immediately go to the content of the gospel. What do I mean? Well, really what we have just been singing, much of what we have just been singing. The life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ into glory, and the return of Christ for his people. The gospel content. And at the center of that gospel content is surely the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul has already laid this foundation or pointed us in this direction in this letter as he writes to Timothy under the inspiration of the Spirit. Go back into chapter 1 just for a moment and look at verse 9. Well, back up into verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And now he describes it. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you see the connection? Paul can talk about the grace that has come to him, the grace that has come to Timothy. And as he thinks about that grace, he describes it in terms of Jesus Christ. That grace is revealed in the gospel. That gospel is revealed in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses the word destroys death and brings immortality to light. That's a way of Paul speaking about the death of Christ. Where does he win victory over death? By dying himself and bringing immortality to light. The demonstration of the beauty, the acceptance, God's acceptance of that sacrificial death in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we're going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, what I'm suggesting to you is this. We need to understand that the strength is defined in a term as grace. And if you really, you can't leave that as a nebulous thing, as, you know, lots of people talk about grace. Lots of people who don't know anything about the gospel talk about grace. The grace that Paul is speaking of is very well defined. And when you and I think about grace, we ought to think about Christ. When we think about grace, we ought to think about his life. The condescension is how we describe it, isn't it? Who, in Philippians 2, Paul says, who in being very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but what? But made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant or a slave, taking the lowest station in life. All of that is another way of describing grace. Christ coming for sinners like us, but not only coming, submitting himself to death and becoming obedient to death on the cross. When we think of grace, we ought to think of his life. We ought to think of his death, his coming and dying on that accursed tree. And we ought to think of the empty tomb that God, by his mercy and power, raised Christ to everlasting life, that all who trust in him might share in that everlasting life. So that's the first thing I want you to just meditate on, reflect on. Be strong in grace is to understand the gospel. Do you understand the gospel this morning? Do you understand that content? Let me just speak for a moment to those of you who don't understand the gospel. And you know who you are. You maybe have some people around you fooled, but you know in your heart of hearts that you really don't get it yet. Oh, you maybe get some of the details as I've explained it, but your heart is still at odds with God. You are still an enemy of God, at enmity with God. Colossians 1, where Paul describes us in that way. You still have not submitted your need to Christ. You have not acknowledged your sin and your rebellion and your deserving of the wrath of God, the judgment of God upon your own heart. And you have not yet seen in Christ that he bore that wrath for me. You need to deal with God in the gospel this morning. I urge you to think about this grace in terms of the content, who Christ is and what he did in his life and in his death. And I'll come back to this more in a moment, but again, for those of you who are still not quite sure, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in him. Trust in that. You don't have to understand all the details of the content I've just described. You simply must acknowledge, I'm a sinner and he's a great Savior. I'm going to trust him. Will you trust him today? There's another aspect, though, to grace that we need to consider. The content of the gospel itself should be a part of our minds when we think about grace and being strong in grace. The second thing, though, is what I would call gospel power, which would be the equivalent of the working of the Spirit. Back again in chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul's instructing Timothy all the way along here. Verse 13, he says this, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." Keep going. Keep going in your ministry. That's what he's saying. Verse 14, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you." What is the good deposit? I take that to mean both the gospel content that we've just looked at, the gospel itself, guard that. But I think it also has to do with personal faith, spiritual life, and obedience. Guard your heart. Boy, there's some important instruction for all of us today, especially for young people. No, not especially for young people, for old people too. Guard your heart. The sinful world and Satan seeks to steal the heart and the passions of the heart and the desires of the heart. Guard your heart. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it. This is the point I wanted to get to. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Isn't that something? Paul is urging Timothy to do a most difficult thing. To guard the heart, to guard the deposit, the gospel itself and its impact on the heart and the communication of the gospel, to guard that in a world that is opposed to the gospel. I mean, violently opposed to the gospel. How do we do that? Let me boil it down. How do you and I get up tomorrow morning and live for Jesus? Because the moment you and I step out the door, the enemy is right there. It's the sweet old lady who lives next door, right? It's the young couple down the street with the two rambunctious children. It's the co-worker at the desk next to you, might be your boss. What do I mean by enemy? Are they out to get you? No. I mean, to the extent that they do not know and love and honor Christ, they are still in bondage to sin, and they are corrupted by a sinful world, and as I rub shoulders with them, I'm in danger of being corrupted myself. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment you not rub shoulders with unsaved people. We are light in darkness. We are to be the light of the world. Absolutely. But we must stand our ground, not being absorbed into the lives of people who are living in disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all of that to say, how do we do that? How do I live righteously? How do I guard my eyes against the proliferation of media, through the media, all of the things that would take my heart and attach it to something idolatrous, all of the impacts around me? How do I possibly do that? You do that because in grace. You be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And quite simply, what that means is we know the power of the gospel through the working of the Spirit in our lives. That's our hope as you and I get up tomorrow morning and try and be obedient to Christ. Try and do that in your own strength. Just try it. If you want to experience failure and embarrassment and misery, try and live in obedience to the commands of Scripture, the gospel of Christ, in your own power and your own strength. No. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Quite simply, we are to have the content of the gospel and the power of the gospel in our minds and our hearts in such a way that we are living in the power of that grace, in the strength of that grace, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Let me read you another verse, and you can write this one down. This is important. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19. Remember, in that passage, just to give you the context, Paul is describing a great thorn in his flesh, this painful thing that he prayed three times would be removed, and God says no. And this is how God crystallizes his answer for Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19, God said to me in response to my prayers that this painful thing would be removed. This thing that makes me feel my weakness, Lord, take it away. Have you ever prayed that? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul goes on to say, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. When we think about grace, and Paul puts it together directly in that passage, he said, God tells Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and the parallel thought is this, my power is made perfect in weakness. That God's grace and his power are to be understood as, in some sense, synonymous. Even the Holy Spirit becoming somewhat synonymous with this idea of the, the grace of God enabling us. And so, how then do we respond to this passage? I want you to think seriously and carefully in your life about what the strength is that you need. In both of these areas, in the content of the gospel, the power of the gospel, we are to understand that grace is an expression of God's love and compassion to those who do not deserve it. And it is an expression of love and compassion personified in the Lord Jesus Christ, that through His life and death and resurrection, and by the power of His Spirit, our lives might be miraculously transformed. Where is our hope in this sinful, broken world? Where is our hope for our children? Where is our hope for our neighbors and our co-workers? Where is our hope for this increasingly pagan and adulterous country of ours? Our hope is in the grace of God in the gospel. That is our only hope. That is the strength that we need in our lives today, God's grace. Secondly, where does this strength come from? Simply put, and again, the text is really straightforward, isn't it? Be strong in the grace that is what? It's in Christ Jesus. That He is the ultimate source of the grace we receive. He is the definition in terms of the gospel itself. He is the content of the gospel, and He is the one who supplies the power of the gospel. It's a remarkable thing. I'll just point you back there, verse 9 again and verse 13. They describe our relationship with Christ. Verse 13 is the one I think I'm looking for. Yeah. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love. And it's that word in I want you to see. Faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Everywhere throughout these letters and throughout the New Testament, we see this language. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it's what I call union language. We are, if you are a Christian, you are by faith united with Christ. So that all that He is and all that He has done, all that is in Him, is now for your spiritual blessing and benefit. But it is only through that union with Christ that we benefit from this grace thing that Paul talks about. It is only by virtue of our faith, our attachment to Him. And it's important for us, again, in this society of ours, which wants to supply and point people to sources of strength other than the Lord Jesus Christ, right? All over the place. Have you ever heard of a lady called Oprah? Oh, you have heard of her. Everybody has heard of her. I don't watch Oprah a lot. I see clips every now and then. The sad and frightening thing to me is she'll have some New Age guru on one day, and she'll have an interview with Billy Graham the next day. As if somehow pointing people to New Age Eastern mysticism, which is, again, continues to be a threat to the spiritual lives of people in our culture. We just need to be aware. And it doesn't show up in obvious ways. It shows up on Oprah. You be careful what you hear and what you watch. And again, amongst the other dangers is it's kind of held out there. And then there's this Billy Graham guy. Boy, is he a sweet guy. And he talks about grace and forgiveness and the sacrifice of Christ. What a great example. But the sad thing is it's lowered Christ and His gospel down to the same level as any other possible avenue for spiritual strength. And you just pick and choose like a smorgasbord of spirituality or religion. Just pick the thing that gives you strength. The problem with that smorgasbord is Christ and the true gospel is the only source of genuine spiritual life and strength. It is the grace that is in Christ Jesus that will save our souls and nothing else. And everything else on that smorgasbord, quite frankly, is poison to the soul. And it may take a lifetime to ultimately destroy the soul, but it will destroy the soul. So the text encourages us, it really demands of us, as Paul speaks to Timothy, and in this example, he speaks to us as well, that we must look to Christ as the source of our strength, and it is His grace in the gospel, both its content and power, that flows into our lives. But finally, let me move to this last thought. We see that the strength we need is grace. We see that that grace must come from Christ. But what is it for? Touched on this already, but let me give you these three things very quickly. If we wonder what it is Paul is urging Timothy or reminding him of, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Where is that strength needed in Timothy's life and in your life and in my life? One, salvation. Three S's now. Salvation. We've already emphasized that, haven't I? That is, that it is because Jesus lived and died and rose again, because of that expression of grace from God to sinners like us, that we can be saved. And apart from that grace, there is no salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one will boast. It is through this gospel of grace that sinners are saved. And without this gospel of grace, no one can be saved. You see, there is no self-salvation. Everyone who is not a Christian is trying to save themselves. If you're truly a Christian in this place, you stop trying to save yourself and you say, Jesus is the one who can save me. I'll trust him. Every other religious perspective, every other religious system, even the atheists, they are busy trying to save their own souls, build up hope on things that can only destroy. This gospel of grace that comes to us in Christ is for our salvation. Secondly, it is for our sanctification. Listen to these verses. To Titus, another young man in ministry that Paul teaches, Titus 2, verses 11 to 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation, that was, you know, my last point, grace of God brings salvation, has appeared to all men, all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see what he's saying? And this is illustrated again if you go back and read through 2 Timothy, especially chapter 1 and 2. But read it through and you get a sense that Timothy's supposed to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus because that's the only way he's going to grow. As God's grace by the Spirit brings the gospel, the content of the gospel, and connects it to every area of Timothy's life, he is going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and he will actually grow up. He will actually spiritually mature. And apart from the gospel, both its content and power being increasingly stirred up in our minds and our hearts, we will not grow. I was reminded this week at the conference I was at, drift, spiritual drift, any kind of drift, is always a way. You can't drift towards Christ. That is sort of, you know, just, we'll see where we end up, you know. No, drift, if we allow ourselves to drift, we'll always be away from God, and it will lead to spiritual decline. On the other hand, we are urged here to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, precisely because that grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. 2 Titus 2, 11 and 12. Pray over those verses. They'll have a remarkable impact on your spiritual lives. Titus 2, 11 and 12. The third thing is this. So we need the grace that is in Christ Jesus for salvation, for sanctification. Again, I believe that's clearly taught in chapter 1 there. And the third thing is service. Service. Now, let's be honest. A lot of you here this morning, you don't think very much about service. I don't say that to be cruel. It's the same in my church. I have the same problem. I like to be served. You know? I like to go to places where they bring me my food. I just, there's something nice about that. You know, my wife and I were given a gift, a remarkable gift. We were sent on a cruise in the wintertime. And how many of you have been on a cruise? You're afraid to put your hands up, right? Because you know something about how other people look at people who've been on cruises. I've never had to apologize so much for vacation in all my life. I went on a cruise. Really? Oh, I've never been on a cruise. Anyhow, why was I talking about cruises? Service, that's right. Thanks, Paul. At least Paul's paying attention this morning. He's with me. Service, yeah. And I mean, you get served. Yeah, I mean, they make your bed. They make funny little animals out of towels. And they, you can eat in different places, and you just leave the dishes behind. And it's great. Serve. I love to be served. You know what? That's the way our sinful hearts work, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. But if the gospel of grace is at work in you, within you, and you understand it at all, you know this. He saved me to serve. He saved me so that I could give my life for him and for his people. strength to do that. Timothy, in this passage, I hope you picked it up, he is beat up. He is either already suffering or he's going to soon suffer because of his faithful service for Christ. He is in danger of being persecuted, just like Paul has been persecuted. He is in danger, if he's not already afraid, he's in danger of being afraid because Paul tells him in chapter 1, don't be afraid! And you only tell people not to be afraid when they're in danger of being afraid. This young man is under pressure, and Paul is very much concerned that he might turn back in terms of his gospel ministry and his faithfulness to Christ, his service for Christ and for his people. And Paul says, don't you dare turn back. You join me in suffering for Christ. But how can you do that? You can only do that if you understand chapter 2 and verse 1. You then, my son. I mean, Paul gets it. He knows that Timothy is undone, that Timothy is hard-pressed, that he's hurting in a lot of ways and in danger of turning back. And he says, my son, my child, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 5. He says there to the believers in Corinth, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's a way of saying I came to be crucified in my life, crucified with Christ for you. I will know nothing except the Lord and Him crucified. Verse 3, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. This is the Apostle Paul, fulfilling his service for Christ and for the church. Weakness, fear, and much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. You see what he's saying? You see what he's illustrating from his own life? He was made to feel his own weakness as he launched out in service for Christ. He felt weak. He felt like, uncertainty, I think, is reflected in those words. How is this going to turn out? Weakness, fear, and trembling. That's how Paul describes himself. But he says, that's the very nature of my ministry. Why? Because my ministry will demonstrate the power of God. And it is that grace of God that is active and powerful in us that will enable us to persevere and press on in our service for Christ. Whether it be in the context of church or your daily life out in the world, it is the grace of God. And as you are strong in His grace, the content of the gospel, the power of the gospel, as you are strong in those things, you will find yourself enabled to persevere even though you feel like, I can't do this. I can't have that conversation with my child. I can't go to that person and talk to them about how they hurt me. I can't do that. Yes, you can. I can't be involved in Sunday school anymore. I've been doing this for too many years. I can't be involved in that ministry. It's just taking too much out of me. I can't do that. Yes, you can. As you feel your weakness and your fear and your trembling legs beneath you, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Again, the words of Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me is not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Why does God want us to feel so weak when we launch out in service for Him? Because He wants both us and the world to know that when great things happen through these weak, sinful, saved individuals, it's a miracle of God's amazing grace. And He gets all the glory. Well, I need to wrap up these thoughts. I hope answering those three questions. And bear those three things in mind under that line. What is the strength for? The grace that is in Christ Jesus is for your salvation, for your sanctification, and for your ongoing service to the Lord Jesus Christ. A picture to help us take this home today. Dwight L. Moody. You remember Moody from Moody Bible Church in Chicago. He tells this story, used to tell this story. A minister was one day moving his library upstairs. As he was going up with a load of books, his little boy came in very anxious to help his father. So his father just told him to go and get an armful and bring them upstairs. When the father came back, he met the little fellow about halfway up, tugging away at the biggest book in the library. He couldn't manage to carry it. It was too big. And so the little boy sat down and cried. I see myself in that little boy almost every day. It's too much for me. These books are too big. These challenges are too great. I'm too weak. I'm too sinful. I'm too tempted. His father found him and just took him in his arms, book and all, and carried him up the stairs. And so Christ will carry you and all your burdens if you will but let him. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. We can't live without your grace, Father. The grace that saves, the grace that will make us like Christ, the grace that enables us to serve. We can't live apart from your grace. Forgive us for when we've tried. And Lord, you know these people much better than I do. But I suspect everyone here today, they need fresh taste of your grace in Christ Jesus. You know their needs. You know their spiritual temptations. You know their relational issues. You know all the things that touch their life and might cause them to turn away. I ask that you would fulfill this verse in them. May this church family be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. May that be the hallmark of this church family and each one of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name.